Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. A new week, April 1st. Not going to fool anybody today. Straightforward.
The Mets are good. April Fool's.
April Fool's, your mic's not on.
It was on.
Oh, is that the April Fool?
Yeah, the Mets are good. April Fool's.
Mm. Are you?
I got.
You on the turntables all of a sudden?
Needs to be taken off, man.
Right. Okay. 800-919-3776 is the number. Be part of the conversation here with you. And there's a lot of headlines, including we have a Final Four set on the men's side, a women's side tonight. A great doubleheader. I mean, this is, again, what we're talking about when it comes to the drama and the to me, what you're looking for. The big names, the brand names, the marquee, and all that stuff. So we'll get into certainly that. The Knicks lose a couple of heartbreakers here, and Jalen Brunson doesn't get a call last night. That has been the talk coming out of that. And also something that Josh Hart said about the injured players the Knicks are waiting to get back. That also has raised a lot of eyebrows. Barr mentioned the Mets, should also mention the Yankees. A sweep in the House of Horrors. Juan Soto looks like he is absolutely
him
on brand.
Just him.
On brand. But you know what? Bart, I think we've got to begin with something that happened literally right after we got off the air on Friday. Don't you think we need to talk about this out of the gate? It involves the Jets and a move that no one saw coming. But I need to know what you think about Hassan Reddick being traded to the Jets at 29 years old. What the impact of he can have on this Jet defense that was already really good. And then obviously Bryce Huff left and there was concern about how do you replace him. Well, here's your answer.
Oh, you want it for me?
Well, who else am I talking to?
Well, I tell you what. Well, you talk about the setup. You know, Hassan Reddick has probably been the third or fourth best person rushing the passer outside of Myles Garrett and maybe T.J. Watt. You talk about a guy that's hungry. He wanted a long-term contract. He went to the Eagles to try and prove himself after going from Arizona, where he was underused, and it seemed like they tapped into it in Carolina before they went and got Brian Burns. And then he went to Philadelphia, and he's just been outstanding. You know, you talk about a guy that's a two-way player that can play the run and the pass, savvy veteran, you know, at the pinnacle, at the height of his superpowers. I mean, I think this is a great move for Joe Douglas. I think we have to bow down and kiss the ring.
Kiss the ring? You know, I'll tell you what, he should kiss Howie Roseman's ring, championship ring, because it's good to have friends. Now, remember, Huff signed with the Eagles. And so it's basically a swap, right? That's simply what this is. Did the Jets get the better player? Like, what exactly is going on with this trade and everything else in the studio right now? Rich Cimini, of course, on if the trade helps the Jets right now. This is him with Anita Marks.
As much as I liked Bryce Huff, you know, and you hated to see a guy like that go, Hassan Reddick's a better football player than Huff. He plays more. He played 74% of the snaps last year. He's averaging 12.5 sacks a year over the last 4 years. He's a legit football player. Now, he's going to be 30 years old. You know, you're starting to get a little older there, but he's a durable guy. He's only missed one game in 7 seasons. And God knows the Jets need durable players considering their injury history. So I really like this trade. It's obviously a win now trade for the Jets. Joe Douglas really doesn't care about 2026 because if they don't win this year, he won't even be around.
This is what it sounds like, too. First of all, the durability thing is very important. That's critical because you need that after some other moves that are made of guys who you're concerned with durability. But this has to be a right now move, and that's what this is.
Yeah, he's a two-way player, right? You talk about a guy that's a two-way player that's not just where Huff was kind of a one-dimensional type of player.
What do you mean by two-way? Explain that on a defensive player.
Well, you talk about, you know, most guys that, you know, you can't get a sack on a run play. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you need a guy that's savvy, that can set the edge, that can be strong at the point of attack and be able to play the run equally. Because, you know, when Huff came in, we knew that it was passing situations, and they tried to play him a little bit more, but he started to wear down. You looked at the second half of the season, I think he only had 2 sacks in the second half of the season.
Okay.
You talk about a guy like Hassan Reddick. And, you know, I don't understand what Rich is talking about. Like, 28, 29 is when people usually get their big contract, their last contract. You know, so
he's in the final year of his contract.
Exactly.
$14 million is the
right,
base pay.
Right, and that's grossly underpaid when you consider what Brian
Production.
Burns got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what Brian Burns got, you know, $28 million a year. So he's like $14 million underpaid.
And that's why the Eagles did this, clearly.
Right, because the Eagles understand, like I say all the time, when you pay your quarterback, you have a credit card bill. Mm-hmm. And eventually it has a due date.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a due date. Just imagine, they're able to say, hey, we can't pay you $30 million, $28 million, because they know he deserves every bit the same amount that Brian Burns deserves. But they know for a fact that they were able to get Huff, who's a guy coming off a rookie undrafted free agent deal, and they were able to get him a 3-year for $51 million.
Right.
You do the math on that one.
A lot cheaper.
You know, that's within the 1500 or 15 to 16 million dollar price range, where, you know, Hassan Reddick has priced himself out. So now you got to say, okay, for the Jets, he's going to want a long-term deal. Yeah, he'll come here and play this year. And listen, what you're giving up is a 26 probably compensatory pick, oddly enough, for who? For Huff. They'll probably get a 26 compensatory third round pick.
Get that pick.
Yeah, because so they're basically just gonna get back the pick for Huff. So basically Huff is the gift that keeps on giving. Because that pick is gonna be the compensatory pick for him signing in free agency with Philadelphia. So Joe Douglas really gave up absolutely nothing.
As if they don't give him a contract, of course.
If they don't give who a contract.
If they don't re-sign Reddick.
They're gonna re-sign him.
Well, that's what I mean. So
that's the thing, right? They don't have to, but I think you want a happy player. You don't want a player coming here switching places for no reason. So you look at the fact that they basically get Hassan Reddick and swap, get the better player, the more productive player, the more proven player. And, you know, you look at what that means. And so now I wonder if the conversation is you have to go to a guy like Franklin Myers, because, you know, Hassan's an every down player. He's going to play almost all the snaps. You look at
Jermaine Johnson. And then Will McDonald, who you drafted last year, he's got to play.
He's going to develop. And listen, the great thing about Franklin Myers is he's an inside guy and outside guy. But, you know, I think he could potentially be he can be trade bait. So
Franklin Myers.
Yeah, because he's a great player. He's mm-hmm. durable. Mm-hmm. He's versatile. But now you can say, okay, well, listen, we got Kinlaw. We brought in the Falute or whatever his name is from Arizona. They still have Tenzel Smart, who can kind of play that Franklin Myers role. He has to step up a little bit. You still have Clemens, who is cheap, who has to, you know, prove that just because you have a bat and you have a, you know, you got a four pack as a defensive lineman, don't make you a badass. You actually kind of have to prove it to us. But, you know, I wonder if they go to Franklin Myers and say, hey, man, like, at $16 million, bro, we need to holler at you for a minute.
We saw
what happened with C.J. Mosley and what C.J. Mosley did. Maybe they find a way to create more cap space, put more money inside of a signing bonus. Because they paid Franklin Myers early. And, you know, he played decent for a while, but he got hurt as soon as he got paid. Remember, he was a contract during the, bye week. They paid him, and then, you know, it kind of fell through. So I wonder if that's what's really going on, you know. The eye to keep on is a guy like Franklin Myers, because they may, you know, have to move him if they're going to give Hassan Reddick a big mega deal. They may have to, you know, cut bait with him or try and move him maybe before the draft.
Remember, and Saleh likes to rotate these guys to keep them fresh, and that was a concern about Reddick at the end of last year. It looked like he had gotten tired. Now, the Jets, again, just Reddick, to be clear, conditional 2026 third-round pick goes to the Eagles. It could be a second-round pick if Reddick gets 67.5% of playing time.
Yeah.
So he's got to play over that many.
Well, they'll give him 65%.
And 10 sacks. And again, Saleh does control the minutes of his guys. He likes to rotate them to keep everybody fresh. So you'll wonder if they'll have that in the back of their mind. But it's also that plus 10 sacks. Remember, he had 11 last year, and he played 74% of the snaps for the Eagles. So.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look, it's another impactful move in the offseason for the Jets, and it does feel like it's that chip to the middle of the table, all in on trying to build a team that is good enough to win it all right now while you have Aaron Rodgers.
And it built up slowly, right? Like, everybody was so concerned when this first happened.
Yeah.
Now it seems like Joe Douglas making a move. Hell.
Well, you had to know this was – right? You had to know that when they signed Huff, I'm wondering if, you know, conversations with Howie Roseman were like, look, we might be moving this guy – if you're interested, and then so they were prepared for this. Clearly, look, Good general managers network well. Yes, the good ones have friends, and the friends that will work with you, not try to take advantage of you, but actually work with you. And clearly, with Baltimore and with Philadelphia, two places he has worked before, Joe Douglas hasn't been able to go to those places and come up with really good deals.
Let's get some love from the Chargers. So we can move up to
draft.
Let's
you say that, because Mel Kiper actually thinks now the Jets should go the other way. Listen to what Mel Kiper said this morning on DNR.
Well, for what they've done so far, guys, I think it makes sense to get out of there. You're going to have teams trying to get ahead. They're in a great spot. They're ahead of Minnesota and Denver right now. Teams want to get that quarterback. They can go up there and get him. The next receiver, say a receiver drops a little bit. Say Odunze drops or whatever. Then you might go up. Or somebody loves my Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU or Xavier Worthy out of Texas, who ran 4-2-1. I think getting out of there and still getting a right tackle moving down. Suppose Brock Bowers is still there and they say, well, we can drop a little bit and maybe get Brock. We can drop a little bit and still get J.C. Latham from Alabama or Tali Fuaga from Oregon State. I think moving off of 10, you talk about getting back second round pick, right? Getting back that draft choice is going to be really important to them. So I would say moving off of 10 would be a great opportunity if it's provided.
Jets might be a team to watch at 10 only because of all the quarterback stuff, and maybe, you know, there's a team that can't get into the
But the receiver stuff, too.
Or that, too.
Because if a Doomsday falls, but I...
I don't think he's falling.
Well, he could fall to 10th.
There's a lot. After his workouts, there's a lot of talk about whether or not him...
But Malik Nabers had a tremendous workout.
Nabers could jump ahead as well. It's going to get interesting, but it is the Jets are now set up to do one or the other.
But with potentially 5 to 6 quarterbacks, if the receiver, if the quarterbacks jack it up,
that's right.
Because you still have the pass rusher that verse that has to probably go to Atlanta. They need a pass rusher in the worst way, right? They haven't had a pass rusher since John Abraham.
John Abraham, yeah.
You know, oddly enough, you know, we just got one since John Abraham.
Same as the Jets.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, they spent a lot of equity on like Vic Beasley, all these guys. He's playing in USFL. You know what I'm saying? They drafted him like 5 years ago. He's playing in a whole nother league. He ain't even in the league anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at, you start doing the numbers, you get to 10, a Doomsday could fall. Because we know Marvin Harris is going, and maybe if Malik Nabers is above him, you know, people are going to move up for Malik Nabers as well.
Yep.
No. You know, so if Joe Alt's gone, then I say, hey, you move out of there if you're the Jets.
Yep.
Because you know you can get the guy Latham from
the right tackle
from Alabama or Fulaga,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know if the other kid Funga or whatever his name is from Washington. He kind of projects more as a guard, you know, even though he played tackle. But you know, if you're there, then you move back. If I can get a second round draft pick because I don't have one, and then I can get my tackle and it's one of those J.C. Latham type guys, and I'm dropping that maybe to 14, 15 if it's, you know, the Saints that want to jump above. If the Saints at 13 want to jump above Minnesota.
Or what he said about Bowers, which really stood out to me.
I'm not going there. I can't go with Bowers.
If he's the talent everybody thinks he is, how do you not?
Because I believe Rutgers is that talent too.
That good.
I think Rutgers could be Ferguson good. You know what I mean? I think he can be Ferguson good from the Cowboys who came on late. I think they believe in him. So I understand that he's one of these guys that you think is super talented like that. But I have to get me an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I got to get me a swing guy. So if I get a second round draft pick, man, it is some great.
That's what he's talking about.
The kid from Georgia.
Pick back that you might lose for Reddick.
Forget that. Like why am I worried about 20? That's two drafts from now.
Well, I don't mean Reddick. Yeah. That's right. That's two years from now.
That's two drafts from now. Let me get the one that I gave up for Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I meant.
Now you look in the second round, man, there's some tremendous receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the kid from Georgia, right? You talk about, hell, go get McCaffrey's brother. From Rice or Brigham Young, wherever he is, it is some receivers out there that you can get in the second round that's saying, "Oh man, we got a replacement, a stud." You know what I mean? Just think, Puka Nacua was a 5th-round draft.
Yeah,
pick last year.
You can find. It's all about the value and where you find it.
Look, Alshon Jeffries. I can go on and on about, you know, 3rd and 4th round.
Stephen Hill.
Stop. Emmanuel Sanders, right? I can go Antonio Brown. Uh-huh. I can go on and on about second round receivers, mm-hmm. man, in a league that is doing work.
Okay. Well, 800-919-3776. Let's get a couple of calls here on the Jets stuff. We'll get into more of the other headlines certainly as well. This happened late, right after our show. And obviously with Bart here, we got to get his take on it. But Matt in the car has a different take on this. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing? Big Jets fan. I just wanted to talk about, because you guys were talking about Hassan Reddick and John Franklin Myers, and this is how I think like Saleh is probably going to use it. I know he usually uses the ends, like he gives them like series at a time, but if he, sometimes he does sub in, like, you know, first down, second down, third down for the run. And honestly, I think like Franklin Myers and Jermaine Johnson, you could see them together at the edge on first downs, just because of like you mentioned, JFM's like versatility and strength against the run. And then I think Reddick comes in for the 66%, like you said, he's going to get. I think he comes in on second and third downs. And then you can maybe give Will McDonald like a third down for Jermaine Johnson. And that's how I see the snaps playing out on the first, second, and third down. Just wanted to give you guys like my thoughts on that.
Well, Hassan Reddick is a guy that plays 77% of the snaps, so that means he's playing on first and second down. If that's good enough to play first and second down for the Philadelphia Eagles, who 2 years ago was probably the best defense of all of football, I mean – I don't see him coming out, a guy that you're paying, that you're going to probably give an extension for $20-something million, you know, $24, $25 million annually. I don't see that guy coming off the field and being a situational player. John Franklin Myers as well, when you look at it, it has the third highest cap number on the entire team. He's not that good to be your third highest cap guy on the team. I mean, you got dead cap money. Oh, man, his dead cap. No, that's Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can if you trade him, you can save $5 million. Like, I see Franklin Myers potentially as a guy that, you know, could be on the move, man.
Corey is in Edison. Corey.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. So I love this JD pickup because I feel like he was patient and he took advantage of the situation. Because I think Howie kind of created an issue for himself, right? He paid – Reddick might have played the last deal of that contract out for them, but the minute they brought in Huff and paid him more money than he was making on the contract –
just the 1 year,
that was never
yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah, he bought right, he bought the years with Huff versus just one more year with Reddick and then let him walk.
Well, you have to understand –
that's what he did.
They had to clear the books, and remember, they drafted Nolan Smith – last year in the first round. It's time for him to graduate and play from Georgia, right? So this is the whole Georgia right. team. When you think about Jordan Davis, you think about Jalen Carter, and you think about Nolan Smith.
That's the next wave now for the Eagles has to grow up.
They have to because they're paying their quarterback $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying their receiver $1 billion. And they just paid their guard $1 billion, right? So they're paying Devin White, you know what I mean? So that's you got to balance the books, man. That's just how it is. They're paying Lane Johnson $1 billion. That's right. Just how you have to do it.
That's their situation now. But again, you know,
they're getting cheap and young again.
For Douglas, you have a situation that we've been talking about.
You got a friend in me.
Well, there's that. But I'm saying now when you're looking at the Jets from an aerial view, you are seeing a roster that is clearly about right now.
And these are closers.
Like
they
wouldn't have
got
right
a closer.
Now.
They wouldn't have got a closer.
He's a closer.
They didn't have a closer. Jermaine Johnson's a good player.
Yeah.
But they needed a TJ Watt, Myles Garrett, we got to have a sack closer.
And he's
when
that
they,
level.
And when they went to the Super Bowl against Brock Purdy and all that stuff, who's the guy that hurt Brock Purdy? It was Hassan Reddick. Closer. You need closers.
Okay.
And that's what he is. He just didn't have a closer from the defensive line standpoint.
So you love this. And really, what's left now? When you consider the draft, is really what holes, aside from depth at offensive line, would you say the Jets still need to close with this team?
Safety.
Safety.
I mean, Chuck Clark's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the young kid is there. But if the second round, if that kid from Minnesota falls to the second round, Minnesota, the University of Minnesota has a safety that is like Antoine Winfield. Oddly enough, Winfield came from Minnesota.
Okay.
Like, if that kid drops, you go grab that. You know what I mean? You grab that in a heartbeat because he's going to be an elite player. If you can get him in the second round, this kid is amazing. This dude's a slot-toed stud. So I would say safety. Yeah, I mean, I know they have Ashton Davis. Eventually, they're probably going to have to let him graduate.
Tyler Newbin, you're talking about? Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, name to watch, you know, when it comes to this situation.
If he drops to the second round, like, I know you need
safety
a receiver.
Depth at offensive line, safety, two areas for you that you would focus on for the Jets in the draft. Everything else.
And big receiver. Like if I can get, like, when you get to the third round and fourth round, it's going to be guys that are great situational type of receivers, you know what I mean? Maybe can only do one thing. You know, you grab one like that. You know, the Jets,
but that doesn't sound like I'm talking about priority stuff. Like, you know, when you, that becomes a you know, we're just on a shopping spree here. All right, what do we do? This is a good thing to get. That's a good. I'm talking about priority wise. Depth, offensive line,
safety.
Number one still. Offensive line,
yeah,
depth, number
line,
one.
Offensive line,
number
one. I have to get. I have to get J.C. Latham. If I'm moving back,
get another tackle at the very least.
Yeah, if I'm moving back, I got to get J.C. Latham. The kid from Duke is they think is a lotto stud.
Okay,
and
then you think safety.
Yeah,
and that's basically it.
Yeah.
So Douglas says they're close to close the business,
and it's deep.
And then perhaps even quarterback somewhere, right? Just take a look.
Well,
flyer on somebody.
Jordan Travis is the guy that I see late, maybe in that fourth round. Remember, his team went undefeated. He just tore his knee up late in the season, two games before the end.
Yes.
Florida State.
Yeah. Has he had any workouts? Has he done any workouts?
I hope not.
What's the story? He probably hasn't, right?
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think he, like, you know.
Yes. Come back and just woosah. And the crazy thing is, the Jets also, they say, has the highest percentage chance of grabbing J.K. Dobbins.
What?
That's what I saw.
Oh, you saw the 7-Eleven.com?
No, the betting odds.
Oh.
The betting odds. They got the second highest betting odds to sign J.K. Dobbins.
Okay. Well, again, they're going to need...
Well, he was with Aaron Rodgers, so they should be best friends.
Going to need some depth, obviously, there as well.
Yeah,
right?
You got Abanaconda, but J.K. Dobbins is like a beast.
Okay. So, again,
he was there with Aaron Rodgers, so maybe they were sitting there and he's like, hey, man.
The Jets are right back now into that conversation of can they be a contender? And, again, health is going to be at the very top of the concerns for this team. It'll remain that throughout the season. It's never going to go away. Health is going to be the biggest concern for this team. But when you look at it on paper, you can make the argument that they have enough talent to be as good as anybody in the AFC. The problem is the AFC is loaded. So you're going to need fortune. You're going to need all the luck went against them last year. You're going to need all that stuff to fall in favor for you this year. You're going to have it. But that, talent is there.
That defense, you just had it.
Yeah.
A dude.
Yeah. No doubt.
Like.
No doubt. Guys like him make it easier for Sauce.
Yeah. And
right?
He can
read.
Hunt. So, like, and Will McDonald just come out and.
Let's see what he becomes.
And he has the same.
Offseason as Jermaine.
Jump that Jermaine Dotson had.
Yep.
Like, man, they're going to be humming, son.
Okay. All right. Well, a couple of weeks still to the draft, so still more business to be done. But this was big business on Friday, and certainly one to talk about, especially with Bart here. We got to obviously get his take on that. We got your calls.
You gotta give me a Juan Soto jersey.
800-919-3776.
I didn't know this dude was that good.
Yeah, how about that? Yankee moment already.
Went 9 for 12?
Yankee moments already.
9 for 12, son?
Big spot. This is what stars do.
Yo, they better pay this dude right now. Like, just write the check. Like, you know
and this
what?
Is what fans do. Four games into a 160-game season,
right
and
check.
We already,
right to
already,
check. Right to check.
To give it all.
If he wins MVP.
I mean, you are.
If he wins MVP.
You are already in the 90.
You are
already in your 90. Hey, listen, like, it's unbelievable, man. You got the lingerie on already?
Bruh, and I'm butt-ass naked. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we are four games in.
You're going to have to get him Mookie Betts money.
And you are
You're going to start at Mookie Betts money, and it's going to be somewhere between Shohei and Tani. It's going to be somewhere between Shohei Ohtani and
I
Trout.
I told you, it's very, very difficult for me to go all in this early
full
in the season.
Full bloom love, man. This dude won that series for you.
But there's something special about players like this that when you just watch it, you go, yo, that's legit.
And he did it to the evil empire? He did that
in
to the
House
Star.
Of Horror. Oh, we got to talk about this. The Yankees and what we saw out of them. Yes, I know it's early, 158 to go.
We're sorry, Cashman.
Every time I'm out.
I'm back
they
in.
Pull me back
I'm in.
In.
Highest chance to win a championship league, Yankees.
You know what? Today,
they moved to the top of the list everywhere.
Today, full buffet. Because there's too many damn headlines. You got to help us get through them all as well. All right, stay with us.
Final four tonight?
No, not final four. The last two of the final eight, elite eight games tonight on the women's side.
Oh,
final four is next week. Next weekend.
I thought LSU. Oh, they get a break. LSU not playing Iowa tonight.
That's the elite eight.
Oh.
Oh yeah. We.
Oh, that's what I mean. Okay.
That's to get to the final four. We only have two on the women's side. There's only two in. There's still two to go. And tonight's doubleheader is, I mean, this is must watch TV. Clear the decks. You're watching this. We're watching as a family. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7. ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. While the NFL draft is quickly approaching, but still plenty of questions surrounding the New York Giants. Should they take a quarterback, a wide receiver? Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, guys were talking with Mel Kiper Jr. and asked him, who should the Giants take at number six?
Well, you're picking where you can get a receiver. You haven't had a 1,000-yard receiver in 6 years. Bottom line is, if you're looking at Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Romo Odunze, one of those three or two of those three will be there when you pick. Take one of them and then help your quarterback. Now, if you want to go with J.J. McCarthy, if he were there, which may not even be a factor anyway because he could be gone, then you get the heir apparent, so then you go, but you still don't have the receiver for your quarterback. There's not going to be a Malik Nabers, Romo Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr. in other drafts. These are special players. That's just... They're just not just the receivers, the typical receivers you see in every draft. That's not what these guys are. Okay, these are elite special entities. You could make an argument they're the second, third, fourth best player in this draft. I have them at 3, 4, and 5 with the two quarterbacks, 1 and 2. It should be a no-brainer. You take a wide receiver.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's actually a great beat. Night is on my mind. The sun will still shine.
I don't know this one.
This is Tribe.
Okay.
But this is fitting for today because, you know, yesterday we actually had a day where the sun was out.
Yeah.
Like, I actually went out on my deck for because I had the game to get to, so my Easter brunch thing with the family didn't last very long because you got to get ready for the game.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait, the sun is out and it's warm. I'm standing out here for about 10 minutes just to take it in.
Yeah, good luck with that, yeah.
But that, it was not, and then now, boom, rain. Like, here we go, rain. Next couple of days, rain.
Yeah.
Back to the rain.
Yeah.
Not enough.
I mean, April showers, man.
We had March showers.
Yeah.
We might have April snow, by the way.
Nah, I mean,
like, yeah, you see the forecast for Thursday?
I ain't worried about that.
Nah, I'm worried about that.
I ain't believing it.
Worried about it. You know what I'm not worried about?
The Knicks?
No, I'm a little worried there. We'll get to that. Josh Hart said something last night that to me should be the warning shot for the expectations for this season.
We almost got
it. 'Cause you know Josh Hart doesn't have a filter.
Yeah.
So what he said, you know, is not like pre-planned. Like, he has no filter. So what he said is, you know what they're thinking or saying in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear this.
How the hell Joel Embiid come back before Julius Randle?
Yeah, Embiid, Woj had the report.
What the hell?
Earlier today that Embiid could be back as soon as, what, tonight?
Tonight.
Tomorrow?
Tonight.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They play tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How the hell he beat Julius Randle back? What's going on, bro?
Well, there's a lot to explain there, but you mentioned it, Juan Soto. How's that for a debut? Think about all the things.
They'd be serious. It's not like it's a moment. Like a, he hit a.
Now I know the Astros are missing a lot of their pitching, right? They are, but the Yankees are missing Gerrit Cole.
They got nothing to do with the cannon that he threw.
But well, there's that. And the Astros defensively, not good. Neither team really sparkled defensively, aside from, of course, that play by Soto, which coincidentally is a guy that we were told, well, don't expect great defense from him. Right. And in the very first game, spectacular.
It's amazing how environment matters.
But yeah, maybe. But like, what you said there, though, to me is all we need to say about Juan Soto. Because it's still a long season. There's still a lot to do. We already know the guy is a spectacular player. He's already proven himself to be a high-level player. So there's no question.
Had a bad season last year, and it was amazing.
And, right. There's no question of what he is. But you know how we've always had these guys that have come to New York, and then they either take forever to get comfortable.
Jason Giambi and all these guys.
Or they shrink in the pressure cooker. They can't handle it. He is not one of those guys. That's when you know guys like this are the truth. They come in, they put on the pinstripes, which can be very, very heavy for some players. And then you go to the house of horrors that is Houston, playing in that place. I mean, imagine starting a season there.
Like, he's like, not to me, I'm the boogeyman.
No, because he's won there. For him, he's like, these guys, they don't scare me.
Like, oh, them? Y'all don't know how to beat them? Oh.
And he comes in, and it's like things completely change. And that's why I think it's so important when you have Yankee fans that get frustrated with the franchise when it comes to chasing stars. And we get caught up too much sometimes in the idea of building through the draft. This is some romantic thing that came out over the last 15, 20 years because small market teams were doing it. And it started to become this whole thing about how you got to do it that way. Well, only if you develop and draft well, which is what Gene Michael did, which is why they had that foundation for, you know, obviously the dynasty that they had. But it still doesn't mean you can't chase stars. And the fear was is that the Yankees weren't able to attract stars anymore, that they had to overpay to get them, and they didn't want to do that. But this guy shows you that you need in this market to have players like that and pay them because they lift an entire franchise. And now he and Aaron Judge together. Now hell of a duo.
Are they the Bash Brothers? Can they be like Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco? Can they be that guy?
Like, I'd like them to be better than that.
Well, I mean, come on. I'm just saying. Those guys are historic.
They can be.
Okay, A-Rod and Griffey.
Well, they can be guys that are exhausting to opposing pitchers because, as you know, through a long season. Now, in a playoff series, it could be different. But in a long season, you're going to face a lot of mediocre pitchers. Mm-hmm. And if you can dominate those guys, you're going to win more games than you lose. You're going to win a lot more games than you lose.
Well, you know what I like? I like the fact that, you know, the Yankees traditionally are a boom or bust, home run, launch angle type of team.
They were.
And this is a guy who puts ball on bat, and if DJ LeMahieu comes back, which that's another story for, maybe later.
That's the bad news. Not anytime soon.
Right, but, you know, that's another contact hitter potentially, a high percentage hitter. You talk about a guy that puts the ball in play. 9 or 12 means that he's putting the ball in
and
play.
And Cabrera looks at him and goes, oh, okay, let me follow what he's doing, and now all of a sudden he has a great start too.
Yeah.
So I mean, you love guys like this. They come in. The force multiplier thing that I know Mike T talks about in the NFL, that works here too. I think it works here, and I think that's what Soto has been. Listen to Alex Verdugo talking about another newcomer talking about Soto.
Dog. You know what I mean? Like, let's just put it like that. He's a dog, bro. Like, I can't say nothing else. This is, we're dogs out here.
We're dogs out here. You love that, don't you?
I know it was rainy on the other side of town.
You must go know.
I know it was rainy on the other side of town. That catcher can play.
Austin Wells?
No.
What are you talking about?
About the Mets, man. Come on.
Oh, we're going there now? Can we just...
I'm just saying.
We all knew that, though.
I know. No, but he's a star, too. He's a star.
Gelbsy told us all about that on Friday.
Yeah,
what to watch.
Yeah, he's a star.
Okay. But let's just...
It's sad on them streets.
Let's just stay.
I think it's raining because Mets fans are crying. I know. Let's go back to the game.
Why are you dragging us over there when we're still talking about this?
I know.
We got to... This is the conversation right now.
That is true.
Okay. Juan Soto talking about this is what he plays for this. He plays for these pressure at-bats like he had yesterday when he had the hit to win and clinch the sweep.
Who's going to be up in that situation? That's what we play for. I mean, we all know it's going to be times that you fail, and sometimes you're going to have success. But I always want to be up there. I don't mind to be up there and get all the boos or all the claps. I'm always ready for it.
See, again, it's just different, right? It's different. Guy like him hears boos. He doesn't start going.
I'm running at the chamber. That's I want right. all the smoke.
Let's go. Like, let's go. I love having guys like this around.
And he speaks good English. You're going to take over, son.
Well, I mean, okay.
No. Sometimes, I'm talking about in this market, it's even when the stars speak English and they can articulate, we can hear their true feelings, not through a translator.
It's easier, yeah, of course.
But like Marte. Like,
but I don't think it bothered anybody when, you know, like Matsui had to go through an interpreter when he was mashing. Like, he didn't care.
I get it, but what I'm saying is the fact that's just an added bonus.
Of course.
That he can.
Well, for his sellability, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, we may see him everywhere. We might see him on every commercial. We might get him on a Wawa commercial.
Wawa.
Yeah, local stuff, too. You know what I mean?
Wawa, New York City.
Yes. Yeah. See, you don't know.
I don't.
You don't know. Wawa is taking over in Jersey.
It's Jersey.
Wawa has moved up, but it don't matter. He can do commercials for Jersey.
Okay.
Like, Jersey is right across the street. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, like, Wawa.
I'm thinking bigger than Wawa, though.
Okay.
It's the Yankees. I imagine you're going to see him in a Capital One commercial. How about that?
I get that. And Wawa. Don't listen. Don't hate on Wawa money, man.
I didn't hate on Wawa money. I'm just saying.
That is oil.
If you're in New York City,
that is oil money.
And you're a
money.
Yankee that is becoming okay. already right. like a popular right. Yankee, right. You should do a little bit more than Wawa.
Yeah, okay. Slip on that oil money if you want to. How much cost you to fill up?
No, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not paying attention. I have not gone to a Wawa ever in my life.
Everybody in Jersey, and everybody that drive down I-95 right. south, as soon as they hit the Jersey side,
yeah.
Wawa. And listen, they took over Quick Checks. It used to be Quick Checks.
Yeah.
Just like everybody knows that Dunkin' Donuts is Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Not no more, dog.
No.
Wawa. Go get you a sub, anything you want. You can't. Right. They taking over, son. And they spending money. They got bread to bro.
Yeah. So maybe we should work out a deal for them.
Hell yeah.
Marcus Stroman also made his debut in Houston and thinks his new teammate is special.
He's going to be one of those guys I'm talking about when I'm a granddad that I got to play with him. You know what I mean? So you just want to be very conscious of that. He's a generational talent. The way he approaches the game, the way that he never gives away an at-bat, it's incredible. I feel like he never even gives away a pitch. So to have someone that's that locked in each and every time in the lineup, no pitcher wants to face that. You know, and then obviously having Judge behind him and then everybody else in our lineup, it's a tough lineup to navigate.
Talk
about kissing a ring,
I
bro.
Told you.
Like they bowed down. Like, bro, he goes straight to the top of leadership.
Have we gone too far? Like, do we go
no,
too far?
How can we go too far
do we
when
go
his
too
teammate's
far?
Going too far?
That's what I mean, though.
It's one thing for us to say.
It's four games in, and we do
my,
this.
I'm telling my kids who
I play with. Yeah, I'm going to tell my grandkids I played with him. Like,
he played with Vlad Guerrero.
March. It's played. March.
Did he play with Jacob DeGrom? He didn't say none of that.
But I'm just saying, like, this is what happens. This is a Yankee effect, if you ask me. A little bit of success early in the season, and we go crazy. But he was – how many times does a star come here and they're as advertised? It doesn't happen a lot
you remember that scene
in a Yankee uniform, so it's good to see this.
Remember the scene in John Wick? Son, it's not what you did. It's who you did it to.
That's a good point.
Boba Yaga.
Mm.
I mean, the boogeyman? No. Astros. He's the guy we put out there to hit the boogeyman.
The Astros. Ramon is
pitchers,
in the UPS
pitchers,
truck.
You will do nothing because you can do nothing.
Razor Ramon.
Soto will come for you.
How you feeling about Soto?
Oh, man, Soto. We got him. We got the guy. Let me turn this thing off.
Mitch going to give him $2 million. $2 billion to lead y'all.
You got to get – that's my only concern is that the Mets are going to just drive up that price like crazy. But right now, I know Scott Boras is not going to allow it, but offer him $650, 13 years.
Damn.
See what he says. There's not, the only thing he can say is no.
I mean, what is he, 24? How old is he again?
25.
25, right?
25.
I mean, you still got easily 10 years, like, is nothing.
You better do it. He's going to be like, I want just right under Shohei Ohtani. But he pitched. Okay, I'll take $50 million.
The intensity that he brings every at bat, the intensity, it's like game seven every game for him.
You
like,
love that.
And if he get better at outfield, and if he shows up that defense.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the one area. Thank you, Ramon. That's the one area that's always the – the concern, right? But he did make a big play in the very first game with that throw, fantastic throw. Call him in the Bronx, call him.
Oh, Bartholomew Hollywood Hans. So, yeah, like what you're saying is obviously it's very early, you know, but like deep down I want to be like overly hyped and overly obnoxious. Like I joke with my friends like 162-0 is still on the table right now.
Right.
That's a fact. But all jokes aside, you came into the season a little worried, you know, with Cole down and the down season that they had the year before, and you weren't necessarily sure about everything. There was a lot of holes and a lot of question marks, and there still are. But this was really the first time, like, watching the game and watching this series got me excited, more excited than I've been in probably a decade for the Yankees right now, honestly. It's just, and it's great to see, and Aaron Judge didn't play well. You have no Gerrit Cole. You know, other players weren't great. They were down three games. They tied it up in the fourth game, and they came back and they won all of those games. I think the bullpen only gave up one run in the fourth game with Jonathan Loaisiga. The bullpen is now looking again like it's the best in the league. And if you have the best bullpen in the league and all you need is average starting pitching, they have enough to not only maintain until Gerrit Cole gets back, but when Judge starts hitting and the team starts looking, you know, getting well into the season, you got to be excited. But it is early, so let's just wait on it.
Yeah, so we do wait. Yeah, we do wait. But again,
are you ready to put them above the Orioles?
I'm just saying. They did some work with the Angels. What I just will continue to maintain is that anytime a star comes to New York and puts on the Yankee pinstripes, there is always that wait to see, can he handle it? The stage, the expectations, the pressure, and all that stuff.
Earlier than any other player in the history of the Yankees organization.
Yes, but you still wait.
Yeah, that's true.
And then when he gives you out of the gate this, right away, you know this is legit. And that's all you're looking for. This is now that, okay, good. We got one.
Can we ask our listeners, has Soto earned his stripes already?
Already.
Already.
Like you're ready to put a ring on it.
No, has he earned his stripes?
Remember.
You know everybody talk about, oh, Yankee moment, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Has he earned them already?
Well, remember,
are you ready
Judge
to commit?
Called it the classic Yankee moment when he threw out in his very first game. He had that put out. So, 800-919-3776. Overreaction Monday on the Yankees opening weekend. Love to get calls on certainly that. Lots more to get to. We will get, of course, to the Knicks situation and Jalen Brunson not getting a whistle. Was it the right call? A lot to discuss on that. And Josh Hart saying something that no filter Josh might have revealed some thinking in that locker room right now about where this team is as they wait for two more injured players to come back. 800-919-3776. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
I swear, every time I hear the beginning of this song, it sounds just like a Nintendo game. I know the song.
I know.
But when I hear it, I always think it's a Nintendo song.
It's like Zelda
song.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I just popped in the...
They're probably where they stole it from.
The NES, right? I got the two-button controller. I'm a boss. But like, still, when you hear the beginning of that, it could be like you could have put in Punch Out for all we know. By the way, did you see my IG story over the weekend? Of course you didn't.
No, I missed that. Hold on. But hold on.
Of course you didn't.
Who called you? Who texted you yesterday? Like, yo, man. Yeah, you texted me. You're killing it with your suit.
That was a good Easter suit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I said. You know what I'm saying?
It was a good
look. He has risen.
Mm-hmm. Saturday, on my Instagram story, I posted a picture of NBA Jam Arcade.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
That's pretty
dope. But I thought that was before that.
That was Saturday.
Did you walk by a console? It was a game, right?
It was like an arcade version of like a stand-up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He's on fire.
But it had like all the 90s play. Like it was literally.
No, which I did
Pippen
see.
Rodman.
I did see that.
Mm.
I did see that.
Yeah. I was like a child. I was like, I need it.
So double time. I saw that.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. 800-919-3776.
I thought that was like Friday or something.
That would be Thursday. Saturday.
Like it was Saturday. All the days rolled together.
Alex in Orlando, Alex.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Good weekend. Bartholomew, Han.
What up?
Man, I'm feeling nice today. I had the stomach bug I think Volpe came down with over the weekend.
Oh, no.
And I woke up this morning feeling like, for all my Dominican listeners out there, I felt like eating some mango today. I felt good. I'm telling you, Juan Soto is the truth. I've been telling everyone. We need this guy. He's not only producing for us, but he's changing the whole complexion of the way that the hitters and the Yankees lineup are hitting. So, thank you for taking my call, guys.
You got it, Alex.
Go ahead.
Does Judge become Shaq and Soto becomes
Kobe?
Flash?
Kobe?
No, Flash.
Oh, Dwayne Wade?
Right.
I don't know.
Judge is still a good player, but then Soto's the best player.
Yeah, I don't know if I love that one.
Okay.
Close. Okay. I mean, it's close. You know, like there's something there, but I don't know if it's that. But it's still pretty special. Let's take.
Forgot all about John Carlos.
Griffin in Connecticut. How you feeling about this?
I'm feeling good, and I know it's early on, but I think the reason I was pumped up this weekend and I was very excited this weekend is who you swept. They think they own you. The Astros think they own you. They've owned you the last something years. So they probably came in this series and thinking, oh, we got them. It's the Yankees. We own the Yankees. We walk around them like they're puppies. But what you did this weekend is you sent a message to them and you told them that this year, I know it's early on, but you told them early on, hey, we're here to play. Now, you're not going to walk around us this year. We're here to play this year. And the lineup, it looks so much different. You have Cabrera doing what he did this weekend. Soto doing what Soto did. And Verdugo wasn't great, but did a couple great hits. And the walks. How many at-bats did we see the people work? Volpe looked great. Volpe never chased early on. He never really chased. The walks, they worked the counts, and they really did a phenomenal job, I think, this weekend. And I'm just very excited to see what they can do if they can keep it up like this.
Yeah, this is what it's supposed to look like, right? I mean, that's what you expected when you had a couple of lefty bats that you needed to get in there, and then you just now have the better balance. And, you know, again, health is the bigger part of this as well. And it looked like what it's supposed to look like. I just think the fact that it's in the stage of, like Griffin said, It's in the stage of the House of Horrors. It's the Astros. It's all that stuff, that reminder of what you can't be. And you go in there and you spank them for four games. That's the way you want to start a season. There's no better way to start a season. You couldn't ask for a better way to start the season than that. So off you go.
But you know the Astros are going to say, hey, we weren't all the way whole. So they're still going to hold on to the lead.
I didn't love that. Defensively, they were sloppy. Yeah. You know, but it's so freaking.
What happened when you let Dusty?
Yeah, I knew this was coming. Yeah, I knew that part was coming. All right, 800-919-3776 is the number. More your calls to get to, and a lot of things to get to as well. A great matchup to watch tonight. I think we watch as a family tonight. Women's basketball, Elite Eight. You have the last two games to decide the Final Four. On the men's side, it's done.
I'm putting my money on Juju.
NC State and Purdue, Alabama and UConn. So you still have 2-1 seeds alive. And, of course, you have NC State, which is that's the Cinderella.
NC State on both sides, women and men.
Yeah, NC State in already with the women as well. That's true. And South Carolina hasn't lost yet. 36-0. They're there. Nobody's talking about them, of course. But tonight, you can talk about marquee marquee matchups tonight that I think historic for tonight on ESPN. Must watch. All of you. There's nothing else that you really need to get into other than this. But we got other headlines to get to, including concerns about the Knicks and something Josh Hart said that set off an alarm, at least in my head, when I heard him say it. So we'll get to all that and more coming up. But I do want to tell you, Major League Baseball season's underway, and NBA and NHL playoffs are on the horizon. Of course, the tournament is wrapping up. Sports calendar is loaded, and FanDuel is making it even more exciting to get in on the action because right now new customers get $200 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $200 you can use to bet the tourney, MLB, NBA, NHL, and so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/Allen and make your first bet a big win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 21 or older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.